Good morning. As people who face constant limitations, that is, we live with the limits of time, space, gravity, the other laws of nature, we have to measure things. It's part of who we are, how we operate. If it's something we can measure, like how far, how long, how old, what size, what sequence, chances are pretty good it's something we can understand. So what are we supposed to do with the triune God? We don't have a unit of measurement long enough to see how big of a God he is, since he's the one who fills heaven and earth. We don't have a calendar going back far enough to see how old he is, how long he's been around. We have no way to measure eternity. And God is exactly that: eternal, infinite, endless in every dimension possible. There's no limit to his existence, his power, his knowledge, or his love. The fact remains, you can't measure the greatness of God. And that's a good thing, as we are told in Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Paul wrote that by inspiration, quoting an Old Testament passage, this question: who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? The U.S. president or candidates running for such an office typically have an entire team of counselors, advisors telling them what to do, giving them important information. God does not pick even one advisor. And why should he? He has perfect knowledge of all things. Can we imagine that? That level of mental competence, that incredible degree of focus, keeping track of, understanding every detail about every event happening simultaneously, worldwide, and throughout the universe. God never had a bad idea. You and I have a few of those each week. God has not forgotten even a tiny bit of information. Well, using that perfect knowledge, he makes all the right decisions, all the right moves for the benefit of you and me, his people. Unfortunately, we don't let that great truth dominate our thinking. Yes, we know that God controls all things. We agree to that intellectually. We know that he has a plan for every event, every circumstance of life. But if it becomes personal, if something bad happens to us, what do we commonly do? We pull out a human measuring stick by asking the question, why? Why did you let this happen to me, Lord? Did I offend you somehow, Lord? Is God punishing me for my sin? Romans 11 makes it clear that we can't measure the whys, the cause and effect, the wherefores, the plans of God's will. It's utterly beyond us. But we should be clear on this. The unsearchable wisdom of God is combined with a promise from God Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So if we're going through some difficulty, some trouble, that can't be a punishment from God. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't treat his people on that basis. He does punish sin, but it's not like that. These troubling things, these problems, you can count on this, that God uses every event in your life to bring you his blessing. He does that on the basis of all-knowing wisdom and also on the basis of his rich grace, his unconditional love for all people. Again, it's quite a contrast. His love versus our love. Our love has limits, in spite of what people may claim. We know how to love people close to us, certainly, friends and family. But what about your enemies? Do you consistently help the person who makes your life difficult? Or do you tend to ignore such an individual? Do we constantly pray for people who wish to do us harm? Only God is steadfast in this unique ability to love his enemies, to love all people who have turned against him, you and me included. We know that God loves his enemies because of a plan he formed. You know it as the gospel, and it's really quite amazing. The Holy Son of God came to earth to take all the guilt of all sin on his record. Jesus came to serve your sentence because God has put the whole world on trial. Every sin of every person laid on Jesus. God has measured out the full penalty that Christ would suffer and did. He paid the price. It's a fact with great ramifications for us. That being that the judge has set you free. The case is now closed. In God's book, you and I are not guilty of anything. How normal is that? Would a human court approve of such a procedure? Think about that. Would a human judge decide beforehand that the sentence of a guilty person would go to the innocent victim? And would the victim agree to it? Unheard of. Unthinkable. Except in the mind of God. That doesn't happen except in the courtroom of God. No, you can't measure the greatness of his wisdom or the fullness of his love, but certainly you can profit from it. We'll get eternal life because of it. And by faith, you and I can make it our intent to speak, sing, live his undying thanks, our undying thanks to him for his immeasurable grace and goodness given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing such thanks now in the form of hymn 360, the first three stanzas of hymn 360.